Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. The title of my message today is God Under Arrest. This broadcast comes to you each Sunday over the station. Our text today is from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John, where it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, referring to his high priestly prayer, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus says unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Our Father, we pray now for the divine anointing of the Spirit of God to be upon this declaration of thy sacred word. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear ones, before I get into my message today, if I have time at the end of this broadcast, I will give you my mailing address. So have your paper and pencil ready. That is if I have the time. Now, what we have before us today is the beginning of a new picture, a change of geography, and a change of events. The last several weeks, we have been in Jesus' high priestly prayer, which presumably was said in the upper room. Now, Jesus and his disciples are moving into the garden at the brook Kidron, where Jesus often prayed. It is here where he asked his disciples to pray with him and where they fell asleep. It is here where he prayed this prayer of agony, Lord, if possible, let this cup pass from me. It is here, as he prayed, that it appeared that his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. The arresting party now arrives in this garden, and the party consists of Jewish soldiers, that is a temple guard, and Roman soldiers led by Judas. These men came, it says, with lanterns and torches and weapons. Notice the word weapons, in order to arrest the Lord Jesus. And then he goes on to tell us that Jesus then asked these men, whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And then Jesus said, I am he. If you have a good Bible, you notice that the word he here in your Bible is in italics. The word he here is not in normal print. And the reason for that is that the word he of the phrase I am he is not found in the original, in the oldest Greek manuscripts. So what we really have here is not Jesus saying I am he, but Jesus saying I am. And that, my friend, gets us back to the book of Exodus, where Moses, when asked to go to the land of Egypt, said to God, Lord, who shall I say sent me? And God said to Moses, say I am sent you. In this garden, at the moment of arrest, Jesus used the name of God as revealed to Moses, I am. And at the precise moment, my friend, when Jesus said, I am, our scriptures tell us that the arresting party, with all their weapons and lanterns, went backward and fell to the ground. So now you can see why I entitled my sermon today, God Under Arrest. The I am under arrest. But let me ask you now, my friend, who is in control in this garden? Was it the one who calmly stood upright and said, I am? Or was it the ones who lay on the ground, stricken by the power of God? Who was in control of the arrest of the Lord Jesus Christ? I want you to know that if all the Roman army would have come to arrest the Lord Jesus with all their weapons and implements, and Jesus would have said, "I am," all of Rome would have lain at Jesus' feet. This was a moment where God was letting mankind know, then and today, that He is always, and I mean always, in control. So this arrest was not a humiliating experience for Jesus at all. It was a humiliating experience for both Jerusalem and Rome. That's my first segment of God's arrest. My second segment is that everyone, at one time or another, needs a Judas. Our text says here that Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus needed Judas as much as he needed the other disciples. There are times when you, too, need a Judas just the same. There are several reasons why Jesus needed a Judas in his ministry, and the first one is that he needed Judas to fulfill the prophecy of the Old Testament, because it says in Psalm 41, verse 9, this is a psalm of David, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat bread at my hand, has lifted up his heel against me." Well, who's that? All we have to do is add the name Judas to that verse, and we have the fulfillment of prophecy here in John chapter 18. Was Judas a friend of Jesus? Yes. Was he a familiar friend? Of course. Was he someone that ate bread with the Lord Jesus? Yes. Was he someone who lifted up his heel against the Lord? Yes. In fact, Jesus himself quotes Psalm 41:9 and referring to Judas in John 13:18 at the communion table when he says, "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." So I wished every Jew would read the Gospels and the little references to the Old Testament at the bottom of many a verse of the New Testament. Jesus needed Judas because Judas was part of God's plan to get Jesus arrested, to get Jesus to the cross so that Jesus could bring us our salvation. That's one reason why Jesus needed Judas in his life. Another reason is Jesus needed a Judas in his life in order to show us the power of God. The Gospels tell us that Judas was a thief and that he carried the bag. In other words, he was the treasurer. Anyone who steals money, and especially the Lord's money, is a wicked person. So Jesus had with him a wicked, a selfish, a money-loving person, and he had him with him for several years. However, I want you to notice that in these 3 years that Jesus had Judas, Jesus never said one negative word about Judas. John did, but not Jesus. Jesus, in all these years, loved Judas as he loved all the other disciples. That's brought out in John 13, verse 1, where John says that Jesus loved his disciples unto the end. Now, friend, let me ask you, do you love people who make things difficult for you? Do you love them as Jesus loved Judas? Do you treat them as Jesus treated Judas? Are you able to keep the evil deeds of your enemies, of crooked people, to your heart? Or do you have to tell somebody about the faults of your troublemakers? Some of you perhaps have a spouse who's dishonest or evil in some way or another. Let me ask you, can you love this spouse as Jesus loved Judas? Can you see the power of God in Jesus' life? Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and if you are likewise filled with the Spirit of God, you can love the Judases that come across the pathway of your life, and you too can keep silent about their weaknesses, faults, and sins. What would it have been like if Jesus would have revealed to these 11 apostles who Judas really was? Well, my friend, you know how much Peter loved the Lord. You know that he was willing to defend the precious Savior by letting a sword come down upon Malchus, the high priest, at the arrest. Peter was willing to die for Jesus. Anybody opposing Jesus better get out of the way of Peter. Anybody giving trouble to Jesus, and that was the feeling of James and John also, who, when Samaria would not receive the Lord, wanted to call fire from heaven and burn up those stubborn Samaritans. That is a spirit you had in these 11 apostles. So what do you think they would have done if Jesus would have told them what Judas was really all about? Well, would they have burned him up, or would they have cut him in half with a sword? You see, the disciples were not filled with the Holy Spirit yet. Pentecost had not come yet. And until we have had our Pentecost, we will act like these disciples did, chopping off ears and wishing fire to come down and burning up our opposition. That's the way we are until we're filled with the precious Spirit of the living God. How well can we see the difference between a man full of the Spirit and a man without the Holy Spirit dwelling within him? So Jesus needed Judas, number one, to fulfill Scripture, number two, in order to show us the power of God that dwells in the Spirit-filled life, the power not to chop off ears, the power not to tell, the power to love and to keep loving anyhow. Thirdly, Jesus needed Judas, as I mentioned earlier, to take him to Calvary. Judas was one who began the physical process of getting Jesus on the Via Dolorosa, the road of suffering, where he, the Lord Jesus, would lose his life that we might find life everlasting. So, my friend, let me ask you a question as I close this message. How do you act when you're arrested, rightly or wrongly? Do you run? Do you call for a lawyer? Do you make a scene of it? Or do you simply do what Jesus did, just trusting the Lord and surrendering? Do you, my friend, have Jesus' love towards your husband, towards your wife, towards rebellious children, towards a pastor who doesn't preach the way you want him to, towards the traitors and betrayers of the kingdom of God? And are you, my friend, willing to lose your life? Jesus said, "He that saves his life shall lose it, but he that loses his life shall find it unto life everlasting." Yes, Jesus was in charge of his own arrest. And Jesus needed Judas, and so do you need your Judas from time to time, that the power of God might be shown through you to a lost and dying world. Well, here's my address if you want to write me a letter. It's so wonderful to get letters. The last letter I got as a result of this radio program was from Liberia, Africa. My mailing address is Pastor Schulze. Schulze is spelled S-C-H-U-L-T-Z-E. S-C-H-U-L-T-Z-E. Post Office Box 299. Post Office Box 299, Kokomo. That's K-O-K-O-M-O. K-O-K-O-M-O. Indiana 46903. Kokomo, Indiana 46903, USA. I'd love to hear from you. I'd like to see where all this broadcast is going. We've had responses from just about all over the world, as far as Russia, Australia, New Zealand, Norway, etc. Let me know what God's doing in life. And if you want more literature, I can't send you a whole lot, but I can send you a little bit. You can also contact us on the webpage. My webpage address is www.schulze. Again, that's S-C-H-U-L-T-Z-E. S-C-H-U-L-T-Z-E dot O-R-G. www.schulze.org. Our Father, we pray now that you help us to see how much we need the precious, the sacred, the marvelous, the wonderful Holy Spirit. I pray also help us never to forget that if we walk with you, if we're in league with you, you will always be in control of our lives. And nothing can happen to us except it is your perfect or your permissible will. We give thee the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.